Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, my guest is my co-host, Barbara. Are you there, Barbara?
Hello. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Yes, I'm here.
Good. Now, Barbara, would we, because I realized that you hadn't had your interview for the Playmate series, and
wanted
to make sure that you
had not really, just kind of a chopped up one, and it's going to be it's just going to be always chopped up because I don't want a whole long hour interview right now. I just lost a very close friend, okay, to COVID. Just found out. I am pretty shocked. I'm in shock, and I am not devastated. You know, I'm functioning, but it's not easy losing a friend that is very close to you.
And I'm very sorry for your
basically,
loss, Barbara.
You know, I mean, yes, my ex-fiance died, okay? I'm upset. I am not really in the mood to talk about how great it is to be a Playboy Playmate today, but the show must go on. So, ask away.
And I am sorry for your loss. I really am.
Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that. And I'm not angry at you. I'm kind of just angry, and I shouldn't be, like, at the world. Like, oh, my gosh, why? And it's just, get kind of like, wow, that was really close to home. And then you get kind of scared because, you know, you have a family. I have a teenage daughter. I am responsible for her safety. We haven't been out of the house for 4 days straight because of this scare. And then 2 nights ago, or no, like just not yesterday, but right the day before, I guess. I don't know. I have to read it again. See, it's really sad. It's just really like a shock. I just found out that my ex-fiance died from COVID. I mean, he was a legend and an icon. We had him on the show. I don't want to like get into that whole subject right now, but that's what's going on in my life. So if I don't sound so chipper, then you know what's going on.
Well,
I mean, hey, we do this almost every day.
Important.
I'm a human being. I go through things
and
this is what I am going through today.
I think what's important is that we do take time to talk about this because otherwise I don't think you would be able to function. You know, I've always told you that you can use the show to talk about things that are important to you, whatever losses you have, whatever great things that you have happened to you. You know, this is your pulpit to do that. And I hope you understand that And I can't bring him back. I can't fix it. But I can only, you know, let you know that you're always.
Well, I don't want to bring anybody back, Johnny. Okay? I know you're just trying to be sweet, and that's this old saying and stuff, but figure of speech or whatever. But you know what?
Right.
Hey, I believe in everything is happening for a reason, but that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. And
I know.
It hurts. You to like, wow, but I must say, I have no regrets because we did everything we disliked, you know, became friends again, and it was really good. And then we had a great time as friends. We went out to a concert, he loved Hawaiian music. We went to a live Hawaiian outdoor concert in the summertime last summer, and then a nice, fun dinner. And then we just laughed about everything because it was pretty dramatic. I must say, the ending of that, that breakup was pretty. I never had gone through any of that kind of thing before. Like, not, he didn't do anything mean or wrong. I'm just saying, it was dramatic. And he was like,
right.
Together, we're just very, it's passionate. Like, he liked it. It's passionate. It was like two, and we were both Leos. Our birthdays were exactly a week apart. No, that means he's not a Leo. He wasn't a Leo. He's the one after. But anyway, yeah, thanks for letting me talk it out, because I was even thinking last night about other things, because when you get so, like, sad, your heart is kind of raw, then you are open to remembering other things that are very painful. So it was just kind of opening it up, but I was thinking, if you don't ever do that and cleanse that out of you emotionally, it will stay in there, bottled up. If you don't let yourself cry, like, you know, it took a while, and then it, like, hit me, because you're, like, really in shock, and you have to let your body do the physical stuff, too. Otherwise, it can be unhealthy.
Well, like, I remember, like, last night when we talked, and I sort of felt you were having a bad day. I could tell, you know, just like from his calling you. It's I don't know if it was mental telepathy or psychic or picking up on something, but it was like I could tell that Barbara was having, you know, a really rough day. And I guess, and I just thought, okay, well, I will, and I'm not going to go into any of the show business stuff on the air, but what I'm just saying is I wanted to just let you know I was there for you as a person.
But you are right. I just mentioned that you touched upon something I would like to elaborate on, please.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Like that, you could tell, like you said, you didn't know if I was psychic or not. It's not, like, it was my intuition. Like something was, I didn't know anything bad was going to happen to Ron, but it was so weird. For 3 days before, I was, like, it just come into my mind, not like, oh, good or great or bad or anything, just like kept popping into my mind. And then I even mentioned him, like a cute little story or something, to Priscilla. And then I went and looked purposely for this iPod that had wonderful 1500 songs, ballroom songs on it. I mean, that's worth a lot of money. Very nice Bluetooth he gave me. And then to listen to it, and I hadn't even listened to it for, like, used it for 6 months, and the next morning, well, early that morning, I was just talking to a friend, and remember, I was off Facebook for 3 days, so I didn't know what was going on, so that night, she goes, didn't you hear? And it was just, like, a few hours before, and I did not hear. But then yesterday, his cousin, who is so sweet and wonderful, let me know, you know, that was kind of the family to include me, you know. That was very nice. I appreciated that a lot, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you were able to vent this out and let
it
out.
But also, it was like a form of respect that she did that, an acknowledgement to me. Like, she was acknowledging that I had this relationship with her uncle and the whole family. They were really excited about the marriage and the wedding and the planning. I mean, they had kids the same age as Priscilla. I mean, they were all like, you know, I mean, they were screaming with glee a couple of years ago. Like, it was just like this family was wonderful. So she did let me know. And then now here we are doing the show. So anyway, you wanted to know something about Playboy.
So the question is, as you always said, the number one question that you get with all the playmates is how you became a playmate. So, why don't you tell everybody how that happened?
Okay. How did I become a Playboy Playmate? That is true. That is probably number one or two. Number one question. Like, how did it happen? It's interesting. Well, I just wanted to be a Playboy Playmate, so I went and got the Yellow Pages, and I opened it up to the P's. And I looked up Playboy, and I saw there was one in Chicago, and there was one in Los Angeles at the time, not Beverly Hills. And I called the one in Los Angeles because I didn't want to risk ever having to shoot in Chicago without being near the Playboy Mansion or California, by the way, my place, dream place to live. So it was kind of a plan. It was a plan, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, when you made the phone call, I'm curious because, you know, this is my question, okay? This is from a safety standpoint. How do you know that when you look at the play, the yellow pages, that it's really Playboy? Maybe that's a stupid question, but how do you go about doing something like that or contacting Playboy without, you know, getting hurt or damaged, you know?
Well, because when they answer the phone and it is verified with your phone call, it's them, and, you know, it's all professional, and they tell you exactly what to do, and you do it, and I don't know. You know what? I actually have to be honest. I don't remember that part. I have no idea. I just looked at the yellow page. I trusted it. I called Playboy. I wasn't thinking that I was going to be in some kind of sex dungeon because I went to the yellow pages and looked at Playboy Enterprises. So, no. Actually, so the answer is no.
Okay. Well, no, it's just, I mean, I'm only asking for the listener's benefit. I mean, there have been cases where, you know, people have wound up being murdered. And I think there was a majorette, I think, many years ago. This lady got murdered.
No, I know who you're talking about, but that had nothing to do with Playboy. So are we talking about modeling or are we talking about Playboy today?
Well,
I mean, Johnny, it's a big difference, huge difference. The world of modeling is way different than just what we're talking about, playmate life.
I get it, but family and playboy around you.
And so you're talking about something really different, and I don't want to do that. I just want to stick to the topic, because that's
another
person that was killed and murdered, and you know what, close to me, that I modeled with, and I can't do more loss right now.
All right.
Let's stay positive. No, I didn't think I was going to get raped and murdered when I called Playboy. The answer is no.
Okay. Now, after you, like, what is the selection process? Let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, you made the phone call, and you went over there. I mean, is there, like, what's the elimination process?
There's a lot more steps between making the phone call and going over there. So you ask about
that,
the process.
Yeah.
I will tell you about the process.
Okay.
The process would be you call if you're from far away and you can't go over there for this Polaroid test, which I never had to do. And I always thought, oh, how horrible. But the local people from California had to drive. They didn't fly them in. I mean, they fly the other people, like, from other states in. Like, I was living in Nashville as a flight attendant, remember? And they flew me in to stay at the Playboy Mansion. And it's a lot different. I mean, you already feel like, wow, they're really, really interested. You're not just walking off the street on every Thursday, open call for Polaroid dates, you know, locally. And so my experience was just really from the start wonderful, like top notch, treated like so just respectfully and like ease and grace. And everybody at the company, it's like the morale was so high, and every single person, like, you know, some playmates that we've talked to say, oh, do you remember the lady who used to answer the phone, how she did answer? Like, everybody was special. Everybody really cared about who was there working at the Playboy offices and the mansion everywhere, from the butlers, the chefs. Everybody was so cool. There wasn't one bad apple, not one. And I've been a playmate now for 28 years. And there was not one bad apple of a security person, or not that I know of. I felt great there.
I think, you know, it's funny because you should say that. I mean, you know, everybody, usually from what I've heard or what I've seen on the show, is that they come in and it's always a surprise. Because, like, it's like basically like, well, you know, it's okay. These people are asking you to, you know, to get naked. Well, you know, you would think that how do you talk someone into doing that? I would, that's the thing that always sounds kind of amazing to me. It's like, when, I mean, and, but then, you know, it's like a lot of people don't understand.
Johnny, may I address your first Johnny statement before you go on to the next one?
I'm rambling. Go on.
Okay. No, that's fine. Okay, the first thing is that we do not use the word naked. Playboy uses the word nude. And nude because
sorry
that's
about that.
And we don't refer to each other as the girls. You know, girls, we're ladies. So these things were important that Tess made sure that we were treated like, you know, upper, like high level. I mean, we were the Playmates. He said, without the Playmates,
my apologies, that was on purpose.
There would be no Playboy magazine. No, that we were important to Tess, and he made sure we were treated with complete, I mean, just to the detail. And I still have letters from Tess signed by him, typed on a typewriter. I mean, that's how times have changed. And he was slower to change, to get on, like, the net, you know, the big internet, and, you know, start the Playboy channel, and didn't really, you know, he had to move with the times. And I just noticed, working with so many companies, by then, you know, by then, when cell phones were coming out and emails, I remember when Playboy did send me the first email from the company. I remember that. BJ Turner, she just passed away too. The Playmate Promotions Director for many years. Oh man, she was wonderful and changed my life for the better too. Well, you know, from every detail. Okay, now I'm walking.
It does
feel
that
better. I'm out. I'm seeing people with walking dogs and at the park looking for my daughter. I had to get out because I've been stuck in there for 4 days. And then the last 2 days, sad. So I just thought, it always cheers me up when I get out. Just take a deep, fresh breath of air. That feels so much better. And the night is so pretty and clear, and the moon, it's almost totally a full moon.
It's very clear to
see the moon. It's a beautiful
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about my walk right now that I'm on at the park in Huntington Beach where I live. Yeah.
That's
what I'm doing.
What I was going to say is that, like, is it you have to go that decides the Playmate, or is it somebody else?
No. Would you leave the most fun part somebody else? Have you created an empire? I don't think so. I think you would leave the most fun part to do, which, yes, everything from the start. I mean, they don't fly you out with Hef not saying, okay, fly her out. No, he was very picky about the Playmates. He knew every detail about, like, one time, one of my first times up there, because it was February 93, and my mom came up there to the mansion for dinner, and we were wearing red, and he had his red pajamas. I have a nice picture, and my mom does too, and she just had a wonderful time. But I said, hi, I'm Barbara Moore, and he's like, or hi, I'm Barbara or something, and he goes, I know who you are. I mean, he must hear this, like, kind of, like, bitsiest little kid things come out of girls' mouths, because we are girls. Like, we're, some of the Playmates are still teenagers. And even in your early, early 20s, you still feel really young. And to address your second statement about how you didn't know how, you've never known how we just get nude in front of the camera. Well, we don't just, like, go, oh, I want to do Playboy and show up and take our clothes off. Most of us probably thought about it quite a lot. I did. And, oh, hold on, please, really quickly. I just have to put it on, I'm on the air, okay, because
Right.
We don't want people calling me. Okay, so I'm sorry, Johnny. Okay, let's start over so people know what we're talking about. Can you just repeat?
Well, we're talking about the how Barbara Moore became a Playboy Playmate.
No, I meant like the last thing we were just talking about.
Oh, how Barbara Moore met Hugh Hefner and how his mother became a fan.
Yes.
Right?
And my mom was up there. Yes, and it was for Valentine's dinner, but it wasn't a thing. It wasn't a party. It was just one of the regular nights that just happened to fall on Valentine's night. And we went up for dinner. She was visiting from Seattle, Washington, where I'm from, and then got to sit by Tony Curtis, which was, oh my gosh, she just loved him when she was young, like a teenager. Like, that was her era. Like, that was, okay, that's it, okay? Do you know how good-looking he was when he was young? And he was always at the mansion. He was a very cool, nice guy, and he sat right by my mom and made her night or made her month. I don't know, maybe made her year. But she loved Playboy after that. Oh, yeah. She was a little worried, but when she went and had dinner with Hef, sat across from Hugh Hefner, and right next to Tony Curtis and all the other nice people there in the beautiful dining area, she just thought, okay,
sort of,
my daughter's in good
hands
here.
I will say this. You are the girl next door. You very much fit the girl next door. I mean, you look like the girl next door, you know. Ooh. I mean, it's true. I mean,
well, thank you. I mean, that's really, I think, what he looked for. Just looking at the Playmate book, which we do a lot, and we are interviewing so many. You look and you see. They have always some special thing in the eyes. I mean, I can't even say. You know why? Because it's awkward, because I feel like I'm talking about myself bragging. So I'm not going to even say what I think it is. But there is a similar thing that's happening with all of them.
Well, I will say this. One of the things I've noticed about all of your pictures is that you're always looking directly at the camera. And you're always...
You can't say always, but okay. I'm glad you noticed. That's nice. Eye contact. That's important,
yes.
Right? So some people
right.
don't do that?
Not really,
that?
No. Some of them give this sort of side stare, you know? Or they look
all
at
the
you
time.
Like they're... Yeah, they sort of give you the bedroom eyes stare. You sort of give them like smile. Hello, how are you? You know?
Or some that are really like, oh gosh, they do the pucker thing. Nobody really does that. But there, some people do that. It's like pucker every single picture. I mean, once in a while, cute, okay? But modeling, every single photo, you have to have that pucker and you have to have that certain angle of your face. Sometimes you'll go to Instagram, you'll see a model that only shoots that angle, like her left, you know, 3/4 inch angle side of her face every time. Like, very rarely is it the other side, okay?
Well, I think one of the things
I've noticed
about
her... And then when you do see the other side, then you're like, okay, now I see why that she likes that side better, but I mean, come on, mix it up. So,
but see, I think one of the things I love about your pictures is because what you do is... you'll do these pictures like of you like in the swimming pool. Your arms will be on the side of the pool and you'll be like drop dead gorgeous. But the thing is that you still are not unapproachable. Like you're still a woman that I would go over and talk to. You understand?
Really?
It's not
I kinda always wanted to be the one that is not approachable. Like I try to be that, like the total vixen. And it doesn't work.
No,
and that's okay. Because I know I've tried not to be. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I've tried not to be, and I never can be. And I'm always, okay, I might get down a little bit, you know, today, and of course, normal. But I'm usually always bubbly. I can't help it. It just comes out of me.
No, you're very approachable.
I go to 7-Eleven. I'm really nice to the guy. I'm never rude to
you're
the
very
grocery store people. Even if they're rude to me, I'm still nice to them.
You always
I can be firm. I can be firm, I think, when I am not getting my point across to you. I can be firm. And I am sorry. Kind of. Not really. Because, you know, I don't feel like I was offending you or anything. I just was saying need to get it out a little bit. I need to get it out a little bit. It's been hard. But then let's just continue. But I didn't mean to make you feel bad, like you were doing the wrong thing, because you're such
a good friend,
not just my co-host, but you're a very, very good friend to Johnny.
I don't
want to hurt your feelings, especially in front of people.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, these things, you know, especially when we talk about somebody who's passed on, this is always a tricky subject because, like, for a long time, I always worry about whether or not I should go to a funeral because I feel like if I'm going to go to a funeral, I'm going to want it screwing up. And I feel like sometimes I may show more respect by just not going to the funeral, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you sit there, it's like you I don't go out of my, I mean, it's like you walk up to somebody who is just, you know, passed on, talk to someone passed on, you go, should I say this, should I not say this, and then in the background, you know, my sister's like, don't say that, you know, it's almost like I've got to walk on a minefield.
Well,
I know
what you should do. Johnny, I have the perfect advice for you for that, if that happens again. You know, I do have good advice for these things. Just don't, like you mentioned, eye contact. Don't make any eye contact with anybody at the funeral. And nobody will approach you, and you won't have to talk at all. But at least they'll notice that you're there. And then you'll just be down, and you can have your head down like you're crying. You can't talk because you're sad, okay? So that's how you deal with funerals if you don't want to talk.
Well, it was a little bit, I mean, I'm not going to go over past funerals in my life because I think that we've already, you know, gotten low, you know, already. But the thing is that I just think that it's a tricky subject. You know, my father just says, just say sorry for your loss, which is what I say, but
But Johnny,
it's very,
you know what?
Scary.
We don't have to go to funerals now because they don't allow funerals because they don't allow the gatherings of people. So that's even more sad on top of everything else because these people don't even get, you know, what they deserve with a nice, big, huge memorial service when they're, you know, an iconic person. I mean, who's touched so many people. It just seems so tragic, that's all.
I know. I mean, do you feel like, you know, like what was the moment that you found out that you got it? Like, you know, that you got the centerfold?
Oh, gosh. I think about that, too, and I just don't remember. Isn't that weird? I just don't. Because interviewing all of them, I just, I think it may be a letter. And if it was a letter, I have it because I just put everything in boxes, you know, in storage, and someday I'm going to go look through, and I've kept every single one of my fan letters with envelope, and when I'm finished completing every single one, I always put a check mark on that front, and I've used that system now for 28 years, signing autographs, and I still am signing autographs. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry if anybody's listening and I'm late on your autograph. I've just, that Christmas was really hard, and, you know, the bat going out right for Christmas. But that's why we need to take care of ourselves. And when we are stressed out, get your rest. Because right before every Christmas, it seems like that happens to me. So that's obviously telling me I need to take care of myself and rest. And like right now, like, you know, don't be hard on yourself when you're losing people. And like I told you privately, the other night on the phone. I feel the universe. I feel like I can feel the, I'm sad for the world. Like, I feel the energy is sad. Do you feel that?
I feel like it's been a source of stress for me because, you know, like, the COVID has sort of slowed things down a little bit. Like, for example, you know, like, it's like, I want that vaccine. I want that vaccine so that I can come out and see you or you can come out and see me, you know, and I want that. And my parents, you know, they got their vaccine, which I'm really happy for. And they're going to be fully vaccinated on the 12th. But the thing is that it just it seems like the whole, yeah, everything is just sort of slowed down, it seems. And it's sort of like.
It's just hitting people. It seems like me. I was like, oh, it's not that bad. I work out of my home anyway. I'm always, you know, I spend a lot of time alone anyway. I love being at home. But no, it's hitting me. I feel like sometimes just like going crazy. Like, you know, you want to throw up because you're just like, oh my gosh, I want to do something. I want to have fun. I want to go somewhere. I want to just not. And it's not even just about that. It's about going somewhere without worry. I mean, how many years is that going to be? And let's bring it right back to the Playboy movie thing. What if you were shooting for Playboy and this all happened and you couldn't do any autograph signings and you can fly around the world to, you know, see the world and represent this wonderful brand and everything else, all the parties at the Playboy Mansion. Can you imagine? All that is like gone and you're the one that didn't get it. Oh God, that would, see, there's people like that who are going through that.
I know. It's like you have to start slowing down. Everything is just slowed down. I mean, I think that as people become vaccinated, you know, I feel like there'll be, you know, there'll be more, you know, it'll be more like the regular life. But
yes.
Right now,
okay.
You know.
Okay, well, we all know about it. Okay, go listen to the news. Now, what else do you want to know? Is that all you want to know? I mean, you don't want to know if I've ever done a cover or how.
Well, obviously, we know how your parents.
I don't know. My centerfold wins, what it looks like, who I am.
What about your father?
What my month is.
What about your father? You told me about your mom. You told me about your mom. What about your father?
Okay, what about? Your question is too broad. What about my father?
How did your father react to you being a Playboy Playmate?
Oh, he thought it was so great, and I couldn't wait to tell him. I knew he would be so proud.
What did he say?
He
did he ever go to the mansion with you?
Oh, yes. Oh, he has pictures with Hugh Hefner. He's one of the first fathers, I mean, that ever went up for Easter, before the big, huge Easter got big. There was a small Easter, and that was really early on. And then it just became some, a big thing where you got the petting zoo, and that's what most people remember talking about. But I remember there was an Easter, and it was just a few people. Who knows? Maybe somebody died or something close to Hef. And my dad, he looked so beautiful, and he wore a suit, and it was Easter Sunday, and I dressed up, and we went around and got the beautiful hand-painted egg that they spent 3 months prior to Easter. All of the workers at the Playboy Mansion work on it. And they all do their own custom artistic eggs. And they blow out the yolk, and they're beautiful. And I still have a huge collection of those still in my storage, all, you know, back in the egg cart. And would you like to know what happened once at one of those Easters?
Sure, go right ahead.
Besides my dad going there and my dad. Oh, by the way. Oh, sorry. I was talking about dad. Okay. My dad also went up for a Playboy Christmas party because they would have a Christmas party and a lot of the employees would come. And then they would have a huge New Year's Eve party for, you know, the friends. Okay. Well, but the Christmas party was still fantastic, and it was black tie and evening gown. It was like really gorgeous scenery. And my dad was invited by a Playboy Playmate, and I had nothing to do with it. He was just at a glamour con once and met her, and then asked her out on a date. Or no, she asked him. Oh, at glamour con, she asked him. I guess they exchanged numbers or something. She said, "You want to be my date for the Christmas party at the Playboy Mansion one year?" And I remember how wonderful that was. I was with Lorenzo Lomas at the time, engaged. It was the funniest story ever, but it's too long for tonight. But and we all were up there. My dad got up to the Playboy Mansion without me. And I had nothing to do with it. Dolores Del Monte, I thought you would ask. Well, I'll just go ahead and talk to the Playmate. Dolores Del Monte. And I believe she was Miss March 1954. So she's the most, what would you call it? Vintage, they call it. They call it vintage after 10 years. And so,
the oldest living
vintage playmate. I'm not going to say old because people don't probably like that word.
Right.
I can imagine. So Dolores brought my dad up there, and I was with Lorenzo, and it was a wonderful evening. It was a wonderful party. And I had, I think, a pink sequin gown on. I probably wore that 2 times. Good deal. Who cares? You know what? One time, this is how I am. My dad said I was famous for, it's like, most people don't like little bratty sayings, but my dad would think if I said a little bratty saying, that I was the funniest thing in the world. And he said my most famous one was, "So what, who cares?" And I would say it all the time, and he thought it was great. And so he would just like giggle and chuckle every time I was, "So what, who cares?" And I just caught myself saying that again a couple of times recently in life. Some things just stick with you. Because I don't care. I went to the Ivy restaurant when my daughter was like 6 months old, the baby in the stroller, with my mom when she was visiting, and I had those pink foam rollers in my hair. And you know why? Because I don't care. So what? Who cares? So what? Who cares? And my mom goes, "I can't believe you're going to the Ivy restaurant, you know, Beverly Hills restaurant, with rollers in your hair." I just sometimes don't. I just sometimes don't care. Because I have my life full of getting fancy for photo shoots, having my makeup and hair done, you know, getting the wardrobe on, modeling 100 to 300 pieces of clothing and swimwear and lingerie per day in catalogs. And you know what? I really am the girl next door.
You always are, yeah.
Yeah. Luann Lee said she couldn't believe that I actually mop. I don't really keep it up that well, but I have those Swiffers. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. If you have a housekeeper, you still got to clean up in between. It's not like I used to. You know, we go through times where we, you know, have our billionaires, and then we have ourselves, and we're single moms. So we go through a lot of different changes. So you're interviewing me and doing a great job. And it's just hard to put really in a nutshell everything. I just need more specific questions to make it interesting if you would like to.
That's okay. I mean, like, what I find interesting is the fact that you were able to, you know, you said yourself, you always, you know, most like wonder, you know, well, you know, you want to be a playmate. I mean, if you weren't a playmate, what would you want to have done?
You know what my goal was when I fully developed and I realized, okay, whoa, hey, my dream did come true. Really, it did. Since I was 12, I looked at Playboy. My dad subscribed. He was a big fan of Playboy. And so was my uncle on the other side of the family. It was not a sin for me to do it. Okay? So he was very proud, like I said. But I would look at that starting at age 12, 13, and I wished, I just hoped that I would grow up to look like that so I could be in there, so I could be one. I wanted to be one, and I was still too shy around 18, 19, 20, 21. My goal still was, because I was living in Nashville, because I was based there, I was a flight attendant for American Eagle. And so I was out there in the South. I'm not a Southern girl. I'm from the Great Northwest. You know, I worked in salmon canneries in Alaska. You know, that's me, fresh air and rain, okay? And I wanted to live in California. I didn't want to live in Nashville, Tennessee. So this is the motivation. That was the motivation right there, to seek out Playboy. And thank God I hated living in Nashville, Tennessee, because hating living there meant that I needed a way out, and I couldn't get out unless I had a big chunk of money and a plan, and Playboy was going to do that for me. And I called them up. They told me, you send in pictures. They, you know, they don't have to be, I think they even said, I don't know. They don't have to be nude. I don't know. See, my memory is fading about that, too. Like, just send in some pictures. Okay. I guess they said headshots would be okay. I just didn't want to take any chances. So what I did was I remembered at my modeling agency, because I had started modeling, at you know, a few years before that, and I was doing well in Nashville. But there's only so much I can do in Nashville, right? I was, you know, doing all the country music videos. I had been working with Waylon Jennings and, you know, all of the country music legends, Charlie Daniels, oh my gosh, Reba McEntire, just, I met Johnny Cash. I mean, I met a lot of them, Glenn Campbell. I mean, they're all over there in Nashville. There was plenty of music videos to do, but that's about it. I mean, you want to go.
You were in Johnny. You were on Jay Leno. You were on the Tonight Show.
Yes, I was, but that's because I was in Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery as a fembot, and
I was
a go-go dancer. Yeah, I was a go-go dancer on the Jay Leno show there. But I also interviewed Jay Leno for the Love Ride for a few minutes. The Love Ride is a motorcycle ride for charity. Huge, and it's really fun. And all the Harley.
Yeah, he's really as big as a motorcycle, isn't he?
He's into cars.
Mm.
Oh, he has a collection. Jay Leno has a huge. I would see him driving around Beverly Hills, because that's where I live. You know, I moved there right when my Playboy came out. I moved there. Well, no. My Playboy magazine issue is December 1992. So it comes out a month prior, okay? So it's so fortunate when you're Miss December, a holiday issue, because the Christmas issue, because every single company across the nation wants you at their company Christmas party. So I was booked straight every single day, flying here, flying there. The photos would be there for you to autograph. All you had to do was, like, usually 2 hours of autograph signing for the company party, and then get up and enjoy the party with them. That was your job. It was amazing. And I did tons of these Christmas parties. And then I also started traveling the world, because when you get in good with a department, okay, Tony Lin, he came on board the same month I was the new Playmate, okay? So when I came into his office, he's brand new president of Playboy Home Video from HBO, you know, coming over, probably just made an amazing deal with Playboy. He's happy, okay? We became very, very close friends, and he hired me for everything. And same with Barry Lesh. Video box covers. I've done 14 published Playboy covers. 14. And I don't know. How many have you heard that Playmate has done?
Oh, a lot, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the record is, but, I mean, I imagine that's quite a bit.
I don't know. I mean, we interviewed 21 of them. You don't remember? I asked every single one of them that question.
Well, I know
hey,
that there are some of them.
For the listeners to go back and listen to, because if they've missed any shows, just go back. Let's do a shout-out. My throat's getting scratchy. I've been crying because we had a great loss in the dance world community and a very close friend of mine. I'm getting scratchy throat. So what time are we at, Johnny?
We are at 14 minutes left.
Okay. So everybody, please go to our Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube channel and subscribe. You will see playlists there. I'm working on getting those playlists organized a little better, but I've had a lot to do. But just please bear with it and go seek out the interviews section and you will find Ron Montez, 7-time Latin U.S. champion, undefeated. And he just passed away from COVID on the 24th. And there's a lot of people out there sad and mourning his loss. And so I just want to say thank you, Johnny, for allowing me. Like you always say, I want you to bring your friends on. He was one of my first ballroom judges ever. And I went to a dance camp. And then that he ran, I mean, this is in 1999, and he was a judge for years, and I never really talked to him. And then, I don't know, all of a sudden we just started talking, and I started working as his assistant dance helper, and we traveled around a little bit, and then we got engaged. So then it didn't work out, but... that's fine. Hey, sometimes they're better friends than they are marriage, you know, for you.
That's true.
Anyway, I'm not saying anything negative. It didn't work out. So anyway, some time went by and we became really good friends again and went just recently and saw a wonderful concert together and had a wonderful dinner. So you know when a friend passes away and you feel the regret, like, oh, no, I wish I would have went over. Remember, BJ, I wish I would have gone over. And she said, oh, I want to have you over to my house for dinner. And we never made the set up the date. Oh, I wish, you know, with him, my ex-fiance, my friend, my good, long, I don't know, just like a very, very, very iconic legend and good friend, and I don't know, we shared a lot of fun times together, and he will be very, very missed, and our prayers go out to him to rest in peace and his wonderful family, and our prayers are with them, with the, and the friends. I mean, the friends were like family. Oh, he had so many friends and just people, admirers, and people he had changed their life and taught how to dance, and just very, you know, very noble person. So thank you very much for listening, and we will continue my Playboy Playmate interview another time because, you know, there's a lot of interesting, funny stories, and I just wasn't up to being that chipper. That's all.
I know.
Love you guys. I love the listeners. And thank you, Johnny, for everything. And, hey, the show must go on. All right.
Yes, it does.
So follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, everybody. Johnny's posting on our Facebook group page the next show every chance he gets, either the night before or the morning of. Right, Johnny?
Right.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening in. Have a great night.
You too. Good night, Barbara.
Good night. I don't know if